This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Van Hipp. He's the head of American Defense International. In the early 90s, though, he served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Army for Reserve Forces and Mobilization. We want to get his reaction to the Pentagon essentially lifting the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy on gays serving in the military, saying that they are now able to enlist and admit that they are openly gay. This, of course, in reaction to the federal judge in California saying the Don't Ask, Don't Tell was unconstitutional and refusing to stay the order pending the government's appeal of her ruling. And Van, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, good to be with you.
So many different opinions on what the military and the Pentagon should have done here. Some say, obviously, the judge made this decision, so you have to abide by it even while the appeals process goes on if she doesn't stay her ruling. Others say, unless this has come through the process, and especially since Congress needs to change this statute, that the military doesn't have to immediately change the policy. How do you read this?
I would agree with that because, I mean, Congress has not voted. The Obama administration tried to, you know, try to get this passed. It stalled in Congress. But I would think what they would want to do right now is at least get three judges on that particular U.S. Court of Appeals to try to get this overturned. Great. Here what I think is the big story. Obama, who campaigned on doing exactly what this judge did with her order, Obama, his administration, his Justice Department, his White House are even saying that the judge's order would be disruptive to troops serving during a time of war and that the military needs time to prepare new regulations and train and educate service members about the change. The Obama administration is even saying that. So I think that speaks volumes.
Van, how much of that is due to the fact that they're somewhat duty-bound to try and defend the existing law, and how much of it do you think is based on the fact that they really do think this could be disruptive?
I think they really believe it would be disruptive because I think they're hearing from the commanders in the field. I think they've probably heard, I'm sure they've heard from the chairman and the members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, regardless of what their public statements are. I mean, anybody who served in the military, I mean, you know, understands what unit cohesion is about, what morale is about. And, I mean, right now, look at all the newspapers. I mean, the story's all about, I'm reading one right now, U.S. military recruiters start accepting applications from gays, and then recruiters are being told now, but be prepared, if the judge's order is overturned, we're going to go back. I mean, the purpose of the military is to win wars and to protect our national security interests. It's not a place for social experiments, okay? And that's what I'm concerned that the ACLU crowd is doing, is trying to turn our military into some big, giant social experiment. The purpose of the military, again, is to win wars and protect and promote our national security interests. And when you've got people in foxholes, you've got people in close barrack-type situations, they don't need to fool with this.
Van, talk a little bit more about the process the Pentagon was already undergoing to evaluate whether changing this policy would be a good idea. What is all involved in a process like that?
Well, it's a very long, complicated bureaucratic process. You've got an assistant secretary, now an undersecretary of defense for force management and personnel. You have an assistant secretary of each of the services for manpower and reserve affairs. Those are the ones who would be responsible for implementing this new policy. They're the ones also responsible for recruiting. So they understand the impact this would have on recruiting. They're the ones who would be responsible for putting forth a new specific military regulations to implement this. So there's a lot that goes on with the Undersecretary of Defense for personnel and then each of those service assistant secretaries. So there's a lot that goes into something like this if they are going to change the right way and for it to be as least disruptive as possible.
Van, what empirical data is there, if at all, to give us a clue of what the recruiting and retention impact would be if this is lifted? Because, of course, those in favor of lifting it say you have all these people who would like to join, and if they're allowed to join, we won't be stretched so thin.
Boy, let me tell you, we have been very, very fortunate in recent years to reach our recruiting goals. And I think when you throw something like this in, I mean, it's only going to complicate it even more. And I think it'll make think about the people who, gee whiz, who would like to join the military and say, my gosh, they've turned this thing into some big social experiment. I think it would hurt recruiting.
Van, how do you expect this to play out? Have we basically seen the end of the existing policy, or do you expect the appellate levels or maybe even the Supreme Court to put it back where it was, at least temporarily?
I believe the appellate level will do the right thing, and if not, the Justice Department would then go to the Supreme Court. I think this is just too disruptive at this time, and I do think the White House and the Justice Department get it.
Have you had any conversations with military officials since this whole event has unfolded in the past few weeks?
I've spoken to military folks and actually, you know, people in uniform, and they can't believe it. They're more interested in maintaining and keeping up the momentum of what we've done on the ground in Iraq and trying to finally win this thing in Afghanistan and everything else we've got. We're asking our military to do more and more with less and less, and then this thing comes along.
Van, very interesting. We appreciate your time and your insight. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Absolutely. Van Hipp, Chairman of American Defense International. He's a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Army for Reserve Forces and Mobilization. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.